I want to move the question to you. In our church here, before we go into a teaching time, we go into some fellowship, and we learn who else is in our church. We break into groups of 6 to 8 people. And Carol, if you could throw the question up on the screen. We're going to talk about this in our groups of 6 to 8 people. If it'll come up, here's the question. What are you looking forward to most this Christmas? What are you looking forward to most? Go for it. You can move your chairs, sit wherever you need to groups of 6 to 8 people and discuss this. Well, I hope you got to meet someone. If I could get your attention here at the front. If you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to read the Christmas story together. So Luke chapter 2. I want us to look at the stories of Simeon and Anna, if you know them in the Bible. These are two of my favorite characters. And as we continue on our journey through Advent, this week we're looking at the coming of joy, or the advent of joy. And I want to pull a few points that I think are very important out of these stories. So let's read them together. Luke 2, if you have your Bibles, Luke 2 verses 25 and following. The prophecy of Simeon. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all the people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." The prophecy of Anna, verse 36. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel, that would be the way I'd pronounce it, from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to the Nazareth of Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. Amen? The word of God. Carol, if you could blank the screen, then they'll be able to see on Zoom as well. Since today we're looking at joy, there are 4 things about joy that I want to draw out of this passage. They're not the main point of this story, but they're in there, so I just want to pick them up. Here's the first thing. Christian joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, that means you can't muster it. You can't try harder and create it. This is great news for us. I'm not talking about happiness. Often we confuse that. Happiness comes in response to your circumstances, your happenings. Happiness, happenings. And remember the core values in our church. We don't just walk in here and we put on a Sunday smile, right? If you've grown up in church, you've been practicing this forever, right? You walk through the door and, "Hey, how you doing, Brother Jack?" "Fine, praise his name." I'm not talking about things that could be mustered, that could be built up from nowhere. Instead, when we talk about joy, we're talking about something given to us by the Holy Spirit. Luke, the writer of this passage, he wants us to know that the Holy Spirit is on Simeon. So look again in verse 25. The Holy Spirit is upon him. And again in verse 27, the Holy Spirit sent him to the temple. And in the story of the birth of Jesus, in Luke 1 and 2, Simeon is actually the 6th person. Wow. Mentioned to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or marked by the Holy Spirit, or driven by the Holy Spirit. So let's review and see who they are. John the Baptist in Luke 1, 14 and 15. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even before his birth. Bruce, I've got a low hum on my mic. Mary and Jesus, they were in there too. In Luke 1:35, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Well, Elizabeth in Luke 1:4, at the sound of Mary's greeting, are these stories familiar? Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women." If we continue, in Zechariah is next, in Luke 1:67, then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the main characters in Luke 1 and 2, it stands in marked contrast to the Old Testament. There's this infamous emphasis here that we need to recognize. We read that he was filled and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit revealed to her. This points us to Isaiah 61:1, the passage that Luke is referring to. And it's the same one that Jesus read out loud about himself when he first read in the synagogue. Luke is putting the exclamation point on the coming of Jesus Christ and breaking through this kingdom with his kingdom in ways that the people of God, they've been waiting for over a millennia. So let's read Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that the captives will be released and the prisoners freed." That's the story you and I have been given. The Holy Spirit, he does this work of illumination. He shows us the way. I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. And the Holy Spirit shows me that I've fallen short of God's glory. And simultaneously, he illuminated to me. He made visible to me that Christ can be my righteousness. So we humble ourselves before the living God. God, I repent of my sins. God, it's your ways, not my preferences. And then we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, justified before God Almighty. All my sin, past, present, and future, fully, freely, forever forgiven. Like that, in a moment, set on the path of patient sanctification until all is made new. And in the middle of that, what happens? Because I'm indwelt, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember the fruit of the Spirit? Can you name them? First one is love. What's the second one? Joy. Joy. What we're talking about today. Joy. So I have to bring this up. For how many of you, has this been a rough year? Has 2021 been a rough year? I know a lot of your stories. A lot of you have had disappointment this year. And sometimes in the middle of that disappointment, in the middle of that hard time, I feel this lack of joy. I'm agitated. I'm frustrated. I'm not grateful. I have no gratitude. All I see around me is loss and struggle and difficulty. And then I get to come to the Holy Spirit. And I get to ask the Holy Spirit, "Will you give me joy? Will you give me joy?" And the Spirit, Holy Spirit's never going to say, "Oh man, David, you know what? Like, we're all out. I'm sorry. Hey Jesus, do we have some joy? Sorry." Like, That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. It's not like asking for a piece of gum from heaven. This is joy. There's no limit to joy in the Godhead. And any time that you want joy, all you need to do is honestly ask God and you will get it. The Spirit of God will not say no to that request. When you look at him and you say, God, I want comfort in you in such a way that I can rejoice in any given circumstance, God's not broke. Joy is available to you whenever you want it. And sometimes I wonder how many of us are content with just numbing our feelings, the anxiety, the numbing agitation, instead of actually asking joy to completely drive it out. Drive it far away, replace it with God's joy instead. So let's go back to our text. You've got Christian joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. Not something that you can be mustering up. And it's something that I ask for all the time. And I certainly hope that you are too. But secondly, Christian joy is also rooted in hope. Now, I said this a few weeks ago, and I want to review it because it's so important. Christian joy is rooted in hope. The place where you put your hope is imperative to your joy. If you're hoping in something that cannot satisfy, you're going to be disappointed and agitated, and your experience of joy is going to be radically affected. But if you can hope in what will not and cannot fail you, then you will have joy. We see it in our passage here in Luke 2. Look at Simeon. He's eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue God's people. His hope is that Israel would be comforted. That Israel, oppressed, Israel pushed to the margins, Israel tortured, arrested, brutalized, that his people, that they will receive comfort. And that's where Simeon's hope is. Consolation is coming for Israel. And the key thing about this passage is that he's actively hoping. He's not passive. He's not just sitting on a doctor's chair. He's not waking up in the morning going, well, maybe tomorrow, maybe. No, he's coming every day and he's saying, maybe comfort's going to be here today. And he keeps hoping, and maybe comfort's going to, maybe this will be the day that God will come. Maybe this will be the day that the Messiah comes and rescues us. Anna has the same story. She hasn't left the temple in decades. Decades. And we can't fully do the math, but she was only married 7 years, and back then, ladies got married very young. And her husband died just 7 years after that. And then she's like, well, all right then, I'm just going to spend every day here in the temple. I'm going to fast and pray and worship. If holding fast to hope is difficult for you, if it's hard for you in the season to say, Pastor David, I'm struggling with hope. If that's robbed your joy, Anna has your answer. Fast and pray. Worship. Fast and pray. Worship. That's how the Lord reminds us and refuels us and stirs us up. Not the white knuckle, do good, try harder nonsense. That robs you of and robs so many of us of our joy. If you want joy, let's worship. Let's pray, let's fast together. Let's seek God's face. He will give us joy. What happens in this passage here, baby Jesus is brought into the temple according to the law to make right sacrifices. And as an aside, I want to show you the weight that God puts on his word, that even Jesus, God, is following and he's stepping into fulfillment to the word of God. So Mary and Joseph, they bring Jesus. And as they bring him into the temple, Anna overhears what Simeon prophesies. And here is their response. They freak out. Like, they freak out a little bit. I can just manage it. Simeon, like, grabs the baby, and he's like, woohoo! And he's spinning around the room, and mom's like, it's my firstborn. And then Anna just starts yelling and screaming and running around until it's finally happened. It's finally happened. This is a picture of joy fulfilled, of hope rightly placed. gladness stirred up in the heart. That's what we're seeing here in this passage. And I think this is why, as parents, we give our kids presents at Christmas. Like, yes, we know it's a cheap substitute because it's not going to last, right? We give these toys and things to our kids anyways. And we know there's a present under the tree. It's going to be broken by 3:30, right? There are other things in there that by the end of the week, they won't even remember that they got them. You just bought a lot of stuff that is the future of garage sales. But why do you do it? Mom and Dad, why do you buy these presents? Grandma and Grandpa, why do you send them to your grandkids? You do it for that moment. The gladness in that moment. The face in that moment. Where they tear it open and there's this happy feeling reminding us all of joy. But I love our story. Because here with Jesus, you've got real Christian joy. Born of the Spirit. Rooted in hope. He's coming. He's coming. Day after day, he's coming. He's going to come. He said he would. He's always been faithful. Decade after decade, he's coming. He's coming. I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to worship. He's coming. Real joy that lasts. So joy comes from the Spirit. It's rooted in hope. And here's the third thing. Christian joy. Follow me here. Christian joy, it aches. It longs. It desires. And I think one of the ways that we see this all the more clearly, that happiness is fragile and weak, is that happiness doesn't long for anything. If you're happy, you're just happy. But joy creates this aching, a desire, a knowing. One of the realities of your life and my life is that we live in, theologians call it the already but not yet. You ever heard that? It already, but not yet. The space between, the already space between where Jesus has come, so his kingdom is here, but he's not back. So it's one day it will be completed when he comes back. Like the already and not yet. And this means for you and I that we know that the victory has been won. Satan's been defeated. Salvation has broken loose. Sin has no more power. It's the gates of hell that won't hold up against it. We don't play defense anymore. We play offense. That's been done. The already. I don't have to be anxious about who's going to win. That is done. But as much as sin has been defeated, the war is not over yet. We're stuck in that space where we can look across the world and we can say, that ain't right. That ain't right. It isn't good. Christ has made a way, and yet here we are in the thick of the fight. And I feel this the most when I'm praying for sick people. I really do. I come across people sometimes who are spiritually bound, or when I see violence or loneliness or anxiety or injustice or depression, or even after if I have to speak at funerals. Like, Jesus, you've come. You've given us salvation. But I have this mourning. It's not yet. Already, but not yet. The joy that the Holy Spirit gives us will fuel us to pray. It'll fuel you not only to ask for ever increasing joy, but with every ache of your heart, with every longing of your heart, that you might ask the Holy Spirit all the more to fulfill whatever is broken in you. And as we see the darkness around us, I pray that you would remember the victory is yours in Christ. The fulfillment of all things is on the way, and the breakthrough of that power, it can happen at any moment. Any moment. Lastly, I think from this story, and it's my favorite part, Christian joy heralds. It declares what's coming. So look at verse 38 again. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. She was eavesdropping. And she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who'd been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Okay, this is where we want to start moving towards application. Genuine joy. Remember, I'm not talking about happiness. I just think happiness is the wrong thing to even pursue. It will betray you and lie to you and trick you. But joy, chasing joy, fighting for joy, genuine joy leads to gratitude and gladness. I believe that things are going to get darker before they get better. And I'm not talking about the pandemic. We are living through that. But I think the future that we're about to go through, throughout Christian history, the stronger the economic and government forces press, the better the church seems to do. I think things are going to get darker. But remember this. We were built for this. We were built for it. Well, why? Because we have this kind of joy that no matter what is going on around us, Christ is enough. And you can't kill joy that welcomes death, because death is better than life. Like what do you do with that? That's Paul's theology. It's maddening to the enemies of the cross. Like, we're gonna put you to death. Well, okay, to die is gain. Oh, okay, fine. We're going to let you live. Well, okay, to live is Christ. Like, what do you do with that? You win. Because Jesus is more than enough. And the only option that you're left with when you face someone like that is you get sucked into the glory of it. Joy that brings gladness and gratitude is bright light in a dismal, cynical, angry age. I'm going to choose to live holy and righteous before the King of glory. I'm going to be glad because he has found me. He has saved me. He has rescued me. And I am his. What can anyone do but to get drawn into that? I like the way that C.S. Lewis talked about it. I have a quote that Carol's going to throw up on the screen. It's in Old English, so I thought we'd put it up there so you could read it along with me. But it paraphrases everything that we're saying. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It's not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author and not be able to tell anyone how good he is. To come suddenly at the turn of a road upon some mountain valley, unexpected grandeur, and then to have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than for a tin can in the ditch. To hear a good joke and to find no one to share it with. The Scotch Catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But we shall then know that these are the same thing. To fully enjoy is to fully glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. God is inviting us to enjoy him, to be with him, to just enjoy him. The coming of Jesus is the advent of coming joy, unshakable, unmovable joy. Coming from the Holy Spirit, rooted in great hope, heralded, shouted to all who can hear. And here's what I eagerly want for you, for my church family. I want deep, deep rooted joy that can only be found in knowing that he has come and that he is returning. And as we live in this space in between, the Spirit is present to embolden our witness, to be our joyfulness rooted in that hope. And that'll make Christmas incredible for you. That'll make you stop mourning, but instead see the things that you might be grateful for and have that attitude, that gratitude in, and be able to praise God in the midst of, for many of us, what is a very difficult season for 1,000 different reasons. So today I'm wondering, what are you doing with your aches and your longings? The aches and longings in your life, do you see those for what they are? A reminder that we're in the already, not yet? Or do you mask those longings and compulsions with ways of trying to numb them, whether that being binging on food or binging on Netflix or drinking till your face feels warm? Or how are you dealing with anxiety and that compulsion in your heart for there has to be more than this? Are you seeing it as an opportunity to come to God? To ask for strength and power and breakthrough? Or are you just numbing yourself out, crossing your fingers and hoping that this will be over? There is a life available to you, where cynicism and anger and agitation, they've been driven out and replaced with gladness. And you can have that life if you want it. You don't have to jump through a lot of hoops. You don't have to show up at the church and take a class. Guys, it's just Jesus saying, would you like this joy? I want to give you joy. I want to overwhelm you with joy. So as I end, here's our last discussion question. We're going to break into our groups again. We're going to talk about what we've learned. And I want you to ask around your group this question. Is your life marked by the joy of belonging to Jesus? Or are you struggling to live a life of gratitude and celebration? If you're full of cynicism and anger, that's a check engine light. And the Holy Spirit today is going, hey, I've got something better for you than that. Come over here. Come over. This joy is made available to you. Come, I will give some. If you need that joy, ask your group. Pray together. Go into God's presence. And let me say it again, and then I'll pray. Unshakable, life-changing joy has been made available to you. Not happiness, not thin. It's rock solid. Can have you praising in the morning kind of joy. When everything that you think you need to survive right now has been taken from you kind of joy. You only need to ask. It's here for you. And all I can do is tell you about it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these brothers and sisters, for our family here, for this opportunity to just come in and learn from the story of Simeon and Anna and watch their longing and their hope and their joy and their gladness. God, you pulled us into it. You created us to long for it. So I pray, even right now, Spirit of the living God, that men and women would come face to face with whether or not they're marked by gratitude and gladness, or whether or not they're marked by cynicism and agitation. God, if all they can see is what they don't have and what they wish they'd have and why this person and why I just pray that you would reveal to them right now in a kind of loving way that draws them back to you. And I just pray for those who are getting tired of waiting, tired of this spiritual bondage, tired of sickness, tired of relational strife, tired of injustice, tired of depression, tired of anxiety, tired of trying hard. As we pray, as we worship, as we fast, God, strengthen our hearts. Help us shine bright in the darkness. Let us not get caught up this week in those trivial things, but let us get moved deeply by your eternal things. Because you are our joy. We love you. And it's for your beautiful name. Amen. Amen. And before you go, break into your groups again and talk about this. Talk about where you are. Pray for each other. Pray that you will have this deep joy. And I'll see you again next week.